he had this beautiful big pocket on his coat, which were always tucked with the letters or certain notes with some figures. Baba would pull out this note, a piece of paper, I mean, and look at it and then put it in this pocket and then bring it out and put it in this pocket. But then, quite a number of times, he pulled out from his pocket a surprise, and that would be a bird that had fallen from the nest, a bird that had been, you know, just lying there, and he would bring it to us and we would look after it. Or an injured bird or a baby bird. So when we were in Agra with Baba, which is near Delhi, long time ago during our blue bus tour, I remember that there was a hoopoe. You know, a hoopoe is a very regal looking bird with a striped robe trailing behind it and a crown on his head. It's used in the conference of the birds. And this was an injured hoopoe. Probably some boy had used a catapult and injured his leg or something. So it had fallen. So we brought it in. And usually whenever we also found a bird that was injured or fallen into one of the water tanks, which used to be times, young birds just learning to fly, that we had helped them to come from the nest. So we would first take them to Baba, so that his touch, and it would nestle in Baba's hand. And the love, it was almost like a communication between the bird and Baba. He would sort of nod his head, sort of say, "What is it?" or "What?" And then kiss it and all. And then we would treat it. But this bird in Agra, this hoopoe, all it seemed was that something was really wrong with its leg. So we put a splint of a matchstick and tied it up so that it would. And then, every day Baba would, when he would come from the men's side for lunch or for being there, he would say, "How's the bird?" This was the bird, with the wings. "How's the bird?" And always says, "Much better, Baba." And Baba always loved feeding, overfeeding his pets, you see. So we would bring, one day we knew that the bird was well enough. Now we would give Baba a surprise. Baba was sitting on this old bed. We were somewhere in the dark bungalow. And we brought this bird and we rehearsed it. It could walk now. It could talk. We put it there while Baba was here so that it could walk as it had been doing for 2 days. We made it practice, walk like that in front of Baba. Parade to show Baba how well I am. And sure enough, while we were all smiling and looking on, that bird walked, hopped, hopped. And then, instead of going like this as it had, it changed course and came directly towards Baba, towards his feet, and dropped dead at his feet. We couldn't believe it. We couldn't imagine it. It seemed all right. And Baba said, "Oh, you all have no idea how fortunate this bird is to drop dead at my feet like that. But how many lives they jump, leap over." Actually, then that's what I'm saying. But as I was saying, he would love feeding and overfeeding the birds and all. So what would happen is, when we would feed the birds, whatever bird was at the time, as soon as Baba came in, they somehow knew. So they would get all call and looked like, put on an act, believe me. As if they'd been starved, they never had anything. And Baba would look at us instead of saying, "What are you doing? Well, look at this poor bird." And we couldn't help protesting, but Baba, we've just fed it, it ate a lot. We'd look at it and say, and Baba said, "How could you? If you had done so, would this poor bird be like this?" Anyway, one day Baba brought three little birds. He picked these up. And they were the ugliest little things you could have ever seen. Because they looked like just lumps of flesh. And the quills that were coming out was like a stubble on an unshaven chin. And it was a parrot, you know, little baby parrots. And it just fleshy, and that big red nose was all that it could see. And they couldn't keep their head up, as if the nose was too big for it to lift its head up. And we saw these two things in Baba's hand. "Look after them," says Baba. "Oh my goodness." And so we would feed it with gram flour, which we knew that is the thing. You make pills out of it with the ghee in it. And we did whatever we could. But They would, mom and papa came, they'd go quack, quack. In a few days, the little feather, little tail had come up. A few feathers on the tail had come up, you see. And papa again said, look at this, look at them. All she went, quack, opening their beaks like handbags. You know, they had a tremendous mouth. Anything could have gone through. And we said, this was Mehrabad when we were in the East Room. We were just very few women there at the time, four or five. It was a very cloistered life. So here we were looking out to this. And you know the room, you know the two rooms, the East Room and the Museum Room, how long it is. Well, it was all, it was not cluttered up. Now we've been mostly using it for storing things rather. It was all very open and just our little thing around. So Baba would say, bring them over, you haven't fed them. So Baba would, Mera would put this sheet on Baba's lap, and the birds would be put there, and Baba would free and free and free. Now, first they would be, because they were telling you that they're hungry. Now they would do, can't, because they have a stomach ache from So Baba says, what to do now? Give them a walk. But here was the most ridiculous scene you can imagine. Three of us standing in a row like that, and the three little, those ugly little things in front of each of us, one, each in charge of one, and we're bending down and encouraging it with a push of the finger. Come on, chuck. And the bird would go, one, two, three, quack. So that belly coming out and that sitting on the little tail and that red nose. I tell you, it was the most ridiculous thing you'd ever seen. And come on. And in the end of the room, pass the drink back, turn the back. They haven't had enough walk. So there the three of us, come on, and those birds. Anyway, this is how they grew. And when they really fully grew, they were the most beautiful birds you could ever imagine. They were sleek and elegant with a red band around their neck, and like you see in a Persian painting where the princess is holding a bird on her finger like that. And so elegant, so chic. I mean, we've never seen such, even among parrots, that such beautiful birds. So then Baba and we go out of the room to give them their freedom. Baba wants them to be free now. Now they're grown up, they can go. So there is Baba holding the birds on his finger, and we go out, and Baba did this. And they flew, and they sat on the bamboo matting passage that used to be there in front of our room. But instead of going like this, they turned around, three of them sat facing Baba. And I could swear they were just looking at Baba, and they said, all right. And we all looked, and we said, fine, they're not flying away. They like to be captives because they've been so long. What is it? But they're just poised there, looking at Baba. And then Baba just did. And as if it was a signal, the three of them rose together and flew away. It was the most lovely sight. And they just streaked away, all three together, in some direction, until we just saw them as green specks. And then there was the Nepali myna, the myna bird. The ordinary myna bird you must have seen, but the myna from Nepal are different. They are something like the size of a crow, but they are beautiful. Their black velvet almost shines with blue or black in the sunshine. They have a yellow beak and yellow flaps on the ear, as it were, you know, where its ears would be, yellow flaps. And they talk very easily. And so one day, Abhi's brother, Rustam, had gotten this myna. There again, this was before the Westerners came to Nasik and Mehrabad. We knew they would be coming in a few months. All this was going to happen, we were told. So this bird was brought by Rustam and given to Baba, a talking Nepali myna. And he had brought it from some old Hakim, a herbalist, somewhere in Bombay or something, who spoke a different language from any we know. But the bird had picked up the wheezing cough of that old Herbert Susie. And so we were told Baba brought it. The surprise. Look, 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 Mara, look, Mommy, look, look at you. See, see, this bird, it talked, take great care of it. It had a very beautiful cage, you know, so that wooden, and it didn't feel like, it had been like that in it for all these years. And so we, this was the first night. Now, that time, my mother happened to come, Baba's mother happened to come for a visit. And she must have heard that bird wheezing. And it would cough that asthmatic collar. And Mother said to Baba next morning, she said, Mero, how do you look after you people? Somebody has such a terrible cough and asthma, you don't know anything about it? And Baba said, oh, with gestures, somebody has bad gestures. I couldn't believe what I heard. And then when she realized and we realized what Mother had heard was the bird, it was the bird we were talking about. It was such a grand time. So then, as it was, it picked up, you see that myna, Nepali myna, not only can talk like any other, some other birds can talk, it imitates the human voice nearest to anything we have ever heard. And not only human voice, it will imitate, say, Alan's voice, it will imitate Glenn's voice, each person's differently. So, but Mera was determined to teach the bird to say, Baba. So, we were told that you have to cover that cage in the night, and at early morning, open the cover a little bit, put your lips close to it, and enunciate whatever you want the bird to say. So, every morning there was Mera saying, Ba, Ba, you know, trying to enunciate too well for it to understand. Baba darling. Baba darling. And of course some of us would come around and say, oh, there's the bird. Hello, Mina, Jake, and Baba. Baba darling. Baba darling. And Naja would say, Baba darling. Baba darling. And Balu, who was with us, she would say, she couldn't say it in English, and she never could get the whole word. She would say, Baba darling. And she couldn't remember what the rest of the word was. So her greeting was usually Baba Da. Anyway, the mare was teaching the bird to say Baba Dali. At that time, we used to have a game of badminton with Baba. You see how beautifully Baba would do? We were solely occupied in doing whatever Baba had told us. Everything was Baba, anything, even the household duties was remembering Baba. This he had told us to do, this was to be done in time. And he also kept her mind occupied with innocent game, innocent fun. So he would play badminton with us, and we would do a little bit of gardening. Only Baba could do it in that masterly way. Never have we seen anything like that. So once we were playing badminton with Baba in the area where now is the tin shed, outside, up the hill, outside the museum and the east room, you know, that where the pillars are and the tin covering is, which we know known as the tin shed, that wasn't there. That came later, after the Westerners came. So it was bare ground, and we were playing badminton. Now, you see that the rooms don't have windows. They have only that little transom up there.
Yeah.
So suddenly, while we were playing badminton, suddenly we heard someone calling, Baba. And we stopped in mid-air because nobody was allowed to come up there. How did anyone get up the hill enough to say Baba? And our racket just stopped like this. And suddenly we realized it was the bird. We dropped her rackets and Baba, and we all rushed into the room. But the bird talking said, Baba, Baba, darling. Baba, darling. Oh, this great, and Mera visualized how when Baba's first Western lovers come and how we would show them the bird. But what happened one day was, and Baba would always ask after her, and was she well, and we were all taking such care of her. And one day, in the mornings, you see, we had so many orders. Like we went from this room, we would go to the kitchen and back to the room. That's all. The kitchen is women's sari now. That's our cooking. So we'd go to the kitchen, and at such and such a time we came back. Then we didn't go anywhere else. So we'd gone to the kitchen, but because the bird would be still in the room, we had an innovative contraption with a pulley by which we could pull the bird's cage up so it could be nearer the transom, could see the leaves and could get fresh air. We didn't have an upstairs then to the retreat on Mehrabad Hill. It had that gabled roof like this, but there were beams in between. So that's how we had left it. We were in the kitchen when a terrific storm came. And we had, all we could do was to close the doors of the kitchen and the windows, and the storm just lashed the place. And we didn't at the time even remember that the bird was, it's a very delicate bird. Soon we realized that that bird would be catching a chill with this cold wind blowing. We rushed in and we pulled it out, but it was too late. It had a cold, and its voice got hoarse just like a human voice would get, you know? It, as if it had a human capacity for talking. So what the bird would do, I think I forgot to tell you. Now, having learned to talk, when I would approach her, she would say, Baba, Baba darling. And when Naja would approach her, it would say, Baba, Baba darling. And then when Balu would approach her, it would say, Baba da, Baba da. You know, and each one's voice almost. And those yellow flaps that she had over the years, when I would play the sitar, she would hop on her perch from this side to this side, and every now and then toss her head, you know, like dancing, or like a woman would do. Hop, 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 dance, hop, 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 dance. Longer the music lasted. Anyway, when we came and we put her cage down again, and we found she was ill, and she had not only a cold, she developed sort of bronchitis. What is it for bronchitis? Aerosol
therapy.
So we put this put her in warm flannels and antiphlogiston in warm flannels, and that against her, and we gave her some heating and medicine. We did everything, but the bird was not going to survive. So she couldn't sit on her perch anymore. So in the bottom of the cage, she was a shy bird. In the evening, we would roll make a roll of paper in her cage, and she would go in, and that's where she would sleep. So on the flannel she was lying, and her voice was hoarse, and she couldn't sit in it. She was sitting down on the flannel, but she couldn't sit on the perch anymore, so she was there at the bottom of the cage. And she could now almost going on her side, but still all right. So we were all gathered around her, and we were just looking, and her eyes were closed, and Baba was looking down the hill or gone out on some tour, I don't remember. But then in the meantime, we all left our work to come and be with her as much as we could. And Valu was washing Baba's clothes, so she washed her hands and everything, and she came. Soon as she came, there was some new person has come, you see, among us. So the bird opens her eyes to see now who's come. And she sees Valu, and she says, ba, ba. There's a bird who said Baba with her last breath. Oh, we had the. And Baba again said, you have no idea. You cannot imagine the good fortune of this bird. But we had mongoose too, maybe. Two mongoose. And we really put antiphlogiston on their chest when they were ill, so that they were on their back with this. All the human things Baba would do. If a bird was ill, Baba said, you know, laxative, and we did, it worked.